Yeah.
I would just suggest that you may want to ask for a volunteer, because my fear is that this may end up taking more time than you think it takes.
I'm worried.
And the chair only has so much time.
Yes, I'm worried.
Point of order. So we're at time. I believe we're at time.
Yes. So what's been decided? Are we going to have everyone come to the next LSC meeting and set aside an hour in the agenda for this? Is that an approximate agreement?
Are there any objections to that?
No. It sounds reasonable.
What's this move, my information?
Right now we're going to have maybe report.
You know, come with some.
I know that.
No.
All right,
let's see. Right now we're getting ready for the next P&D meeting where we will be dealing with the election. We will be dealing with a number of other issues that I'm going to have to wait till the P&B to really tell you anything of real significance. I think we told you last time that we have gotten a bunch of things from, we got a new interim counsel, we got a new interim CFO, and we're going to have a P&B meeting that's going to deal with a lot of these issues, and I think the next month P&B report will probably be a lot more substantial. As many of you know, we sent a contingent to New York to start dealing with the things over there. I don't know if that should be included in the P&B report. I'll let others speak to that. But right now, because everybody is preparing for the P&B, there's not a whole lot to report. Expect a lot more next month.
What's the status of the search for the EDC?
We're in the process of that. We're in the process of getting an interim HR person to help with all those things. I know that some things have been posted. I'm not sure. Has the MCED thing been posted, Grace?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I know that some things have been posted.
To be correct, the ED has been posted. We have not posted the MCED. I think
we have an interim ED.
Right. I think you just asked her if the interim ED position had been posted by the...
No, the ED post. I asked the interim ED if the ED position
is... Sorry, then I misunderstood.
And is there a timeline?
I'm on the personnel committee, so maybe I'm going to answer some of these questions. As far as I know, what I can report out is that there is a 45-day timeline. It has already, the clock has already started ticking, I think a week ago. We were very anxious to get as broad a net as possible, but at the same time, we wanted to avoid what we found, that if you make it too broad, you get a lot of people that aren't even closely qualified and just waste the committee's time. So we did post in 45 days, we decided, after much debate, and they are already coming in now, and there are a lot of them coming in. I think it was about a... I don't understand
what ED is.
I'm sorry, executive director, as well as CFO, the chief financial officer, as well as the HR position, the human resource position.
And the legal counsel.
And we have legal counsel already.
So that was interim as well.
Yes. Okay. So I don't know if we have actually placed legal counsel. And what else was I going to say about? That was all I was going to say about the programming committee. I'm in the personnel committee. I also have a short report for the anti-racism and sexist.
Go ahead and continue on with your report.
Thank you. We had tried to get a date to meet, and it was somewhat difficult, as well as collaborating with all the members. We had a nucleus, but there were also other members that were supposed to be a part of it. I was the last chair of that committee. Offered to help, and she brought some help, and we finally got a date with everybody, which is going to be, I think, on the 22nd, which is tomorrow, and that'll be our first meeting.
And now, basically, our agenda will be to the chair and then to decide what we'll go from there.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Well, just a few items I'd like to add to what my esteemed colleagues have brought forward today. First of all, the Afghanistan motion from this body remains an old business and has not made it to the attention of the PNB yet. The motion on the loan is in the Finance Committee and has not been moved out of that committee yet, although I make regular calls to people on both of them. There doesn't seem to be any forward motion there. A bit of a correction. Sean at least said we sent a contingent to New York. The PNB did not do that. That was the IED's determination to do that.
In terms of executive direction.
No, that's correct.
Needs to be spelled out.
We're out of order.
The Elections Committee has forwarded a series of proposals from the has been forwarded a series of proposals from the IED. I hope to hear back on that soon. The Finance Committee is sending out reports with some consistency now, and we're starting to get new revised budgets in from the general managers. The Programming Committee is trying to determine from the general managers how they're going to comply with the Program Committee's mandate of November of last year. And we have expanded the progressive discipline policy inside the station, and I can read that expanded policy to you if you're curious about what that involves. Okay, that motion reads, motion regarding progressive disciplinary measures to include any measures the executive director may need to ensure compliance with CPB and FCC regulations, formally adopted specific and national board resolutions, and the management decisions of the executive director that are not included in the employee handbook that can be accessed at, and here's the website. So essentially, we have expanded the executive director's ability to respond to disciplinary concerns with, if I may summarize, any measures that to actions that involve the CPB, the FCC, National Board of Resolutions, or management decisions.
That motion doesn't include a subject, so it starts with to include. What includes?
I've been reading it, and the title of it is Motion Regarding Progressive Disciplinary Measures. And then
so the argument would be progressive disciplinary measure will include blah blah blah.
What
does it really mean?
Can I continue one other point?
There was a motion that we passed some time ago, and it happened because we know it's on the PMB. It happened because from time to time I get an email saying, and somebody, oh, the manager just did this, or oh, the so-and-so did this, you have to do something about it. We never knew. So we passed a motion saying that any policy mandate from management to staff or from the executive director to the management should be emailed in writing and should be CC'd to the PMB so everybody could see what those things were. I'm wondering, it's never been practiced. I've raised it again and again. But really, I think it's really important for the PMB to have that kind of oversight so that when there's a policy statement, the board doesn't find out about it because some disgruntled staff member is upset about it. It's, as a matter of course, it's disseminated. And that protects the staff and it protects the management. So I'd like to ask, and I think given this policy, which I think has some good things about it, I think that would be very important to follow that.
Okay, we're at time on this. Do you want to extend this for another 5 minutes?
We'll do extend for 10 minutes.
Yeah, we'll extend and also to another board to ask questions with the PMB members.
Wait a minute, I have to extend for the time. So, 10 minutes?
I just wanted to add that when we talk about progressive discipline, we always put a negative connotation on it. This also means that the executive director or the interim executive director, or maybe, could also reward people who do good work. All right, that's the other part of the progressive part of it. It's not just based on punishment. And I think that needs to be appreciated and understood. What we really did was give the ED the capabilities that she needs to do her fiduciary duty to protect the network and protect, keep us in compliance with the FCC and the CPB. Thank you.
Well, to me, it seems to be more and more power accruing to the executive director. It's not just, and it says progressive disciplinary measures. I don't see anything about progressive awards or progressive laudatory measures. But the clause it says, and the management decisions of the executive director that are not included in the employee handbook. I'm extremely concerned about the overriding of what are progressive discipline measures spelled out in the handbook that cover both paid and unpaid staff. I mean, this is carte blanche for the executive director to come up with decisions that he or she can then, and I'm not just talking about, I mean, this is something that says executive director, we're not just talking about this instance. We're talking about change in policy with greater consolidation of control by the executive director. And I have great concerns about that. And how it can impact our union employees and the impact staff.
I want to second Turner's concern. If I find it very troubling that the national board would make these moves. And certainly not with consultation, certainly not any ear for what the population here in L.A. were saying to them regarding, you know, who they select as an executive director, number one, and then to grant, you know, extensive powers not previously contemplated is troubling, to say the least. But it also seems troubling to me because if we have a progressive discipline system, but it seems like we have a progressive discipline plus system now. So, you know, we could do things progressively, or we could just have a 1,000-pound weight come from the heavens, you know, because the executive director doesn't think that the punishment was enough, or whatever. So it seems like a great tool to reward friends and punish enemies, and I don't think that's a power that any executive director should have, much less this one. And I would also like to point out that if we have legal counsel, what is their position on our failure to comply with the election timeline and the bylaws and our failure to hire or advertise for a national election supervisor by the required date in the bylaws? Does that open us up to lawsuit? Is there a fiduciary problem with that?
Well, I'm a little... I feel a little uncomfortable debating this thing, but since it's been raised, I'm going to throw my opinion in. The way this crazy governance structure was constructed, the only authority it ultimately ever ends up having is through the ED. And the history is that you have an ED, and they tell a manager to do something, and the manager decides whether or not they want to. And then the board gets torn up for months thereafter in dealing with who's on which side of that particular manager. So the idea is that, you know, I am firmly in favor of the idea that the executive director should be able to mandate that managers do something. That person is responsible to not mandate to do something that violates labor law, right? They're responsible. You have to let somebody actually do something. People are so tripped out about power here that power ends up in this sort of informal structure where no one's actually accountable. So I'm totally in favor of empowering the executive director to tell a manager to do something, because otherwise that executive director, who is the board's agent, cannot exercise the responsibilities that the board is ultimately liable for. The reason I brought up the point about the policy statement that we've already passed and is an existing motion is it also should not be arbitrary. As in, I told you to do this, you didn't do this, now I'm going to put something in your file. So that is why it's important as a check on the legitimate authority of the executive director to have that person, when it is an issue of policy, to put it in writing and disseminate it, not just to staff, but to the national board, so everybody sees what happened. Also, when I was on the national board, I got a lot of my time wasted with complaints by managers that the ED had told them this or that, and it wasn't right. He said, she said, garbage. So I hope that that motion, I believe it's still in force. I don't think, unlike the contract policy we had, which had a sunset provision, I don't think that has a sunset provision. So I hope in the execution of those authorities, the IED and any permanent ED thereafter, A, follows that thing regarding notice, and B, requires that their managers do it, because the managers have not complied ever since it was passed, and they should be subject to progressive. They are not unionized employees, they are at-will employees, and they have to do what the agents of the board ask them to do.
I agree with what Jay is saying in terms of people have to have the ability, the buck has to stop somewhere, and people do have to have the ability to do things about, you know, non-performing managers, especially if we have situations where one station may drive the entire network into chaos. I'm not too clear on, frankly, what the differences are between this and what the powers are in the handbook, so I mean, from my comfort level, I'd be more comfortable if I really thought how much more, you know, power is just given from where it was before. But I mean, in terms of, in theory, yes, it seemed very chaotic before that the executive director was not in a position to make some of the sort of decisions that one would assume the person at the top of an organization would make about personnel and other issues. So if I had a clear idea of exactly where we depart from what's already in the handbook, I agree with what Dave is saying. You have to clearly disseminate what the rules are, but somebody has to have the power to enforce them.
Point of information. Point of information. This does not reference the PM anywhere, and the employee handbook applies to all employees. So it's very unclear, and the way it now reads, that is extremely problematic.
That's my problem with my disparity. So not the intent that we're using.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone that the ED is important, that we do our due diligence to find the right ED, just as we should do our due diligence to find the right interim ED. But once we've selected that person, that in itself is a certain vote of confidence. So I think we mustn't overlook the fact that we have put that person in that position to make some decisions for them that we can't make all the time readily, quickly, or collectively. But my big concern is, again, just as the general manager stated earlier, that when you make the hard decisions, it's better to do them in a way that informs everybody, so that there is a sense of transparency, so people can buy in on the idea of it, or at least voice their complaints or their objections. Because I think that's when we run into trouble, is when we do something and then later on people just get noisy about it and they hear about it, and then there's a certain amount of animosity that they weren't included when it was publicly run stage.
Okay, we're out of time. We're out of time on
the listener comment is separate time.
Yes,
can be a lot.
Exactly. I can give you a little go ahead.
Well, I'm going to give you a point of view from outside of this board, from what listeners, activists, people who are interested in citizenship are think about this situation. The situation of an IED who was not selected, because yes, you're right, there could be a process where an IED could be selected. This IED is not selected. This IED, just because there was no IED selected, happens to fall into the role of an IED. And usually an IED that takes a position like that usually steers a course, a narrow course, and doesn't upset the organization. But this IED has really upset the organization. When Sean says, "We sent," I think, what? I was startled when he said that. The PMB wasn't consulted by this IED, he just happened to have this by default? What a startling statement he sent. The IED took this under her own authority. Now, I agree, she has an authority to do that, but you would think that an IED in her position would consult with somebody about such an action and would notify the general manager of the station that she intends to lock the transmitter down and not answer his question when he said, why didn't you contact me? Oh, I didn't mean to do that. You know, that just speaks volumes to me about her intentions. And so we need to look behind this specific issue of this IED taking this kind of an action at this time and what it means for the whole network and other issues that this IED is behind. That's what I want to say about that particular issue. I think it's critical. The other really critical issue that has been raised here is the National Election Supervisor. I mean, 90 days before election, this election supervisor is supposed to be appointed.
Time.
And that has not happened.
Time.
What's going on there?
Time.
Okay, real quickly, what Bernie has just noted is very alarming, that the transmitter of one of our sister stations gets arbitrarily and decided overnight behind closed doors without consultation of transmitter keys that is housed at the Empire State Building gets locked out from the very management of one of our Pacifica stations. And it is very feared that the rest of the sister stations may meet similar fate. We are not joking here. So when IED takes on this tremendous power, I do agree with you, Mr. Edelman. I fully agree with you. However, given the circumstances, it is dangerous because the foresight is not there for long-term healthcare and health welfare for the Pacifica. I see a cloud of a great deal of uncertainty. It worries me. It is worrying a lot of people of the actions that are being taken right now, especially because we are so depressed financially. Instead of coming out with larger ideas, progressive ideas, collectivity is what is missing here. Right? I am very concerned, extremely concerned. I've never seen such a power grab beyond writing checks as well. It's just amazing. And the 90-day clause, you're not going to cancel our elections. No way, Jose.
Time.
Yeah, you know, they say that secrets glow in the dark and die in the light of the story. And I think some of the behavior that has been going on here, I understand David's frustration and being on the national board for so long and apparently being so frustrated that the ED didn't have the power that he thought that the ED needed. But now that you have an interim ED who's operating in a cloud of darkness and secrecy and needs to be exposed in regard to a lot of the things that are going on. Now you want to make a move, your fraction on the PNP wants to make a move to constrict the voting rights of collectors. I see what's coming out here. There is no national election supervisor. The election timetable is way off. And for some reason, you could find the time to recommend that a transmitter be shut. But yet, you can't find the time to look at the election timeline, hiring the national election supervisor, and continuing to operate in this cloud of darkness that really
is
disrupting the network. Thank you.
Any other comments from the public?
There are other comments?
Wait a minute. This is you, right?
Yeah, I have a question and a comment.
Please.
The question is, what is the deadline for a listener sponsor to be able to vote or run for the
the lab election that's coming up, the sponsor, eligible. What is the deadline to be able to vote as a listener sponsor to run for the LED?
Can I get a clarification here? Are you asking for what the registration deadline is for a candidate?
No.
Or
eligibility to voter.
Is it eligibility to vote?
To run.
Military election.
Yeah, to become a member of.
Right, to be a member, be able to vote or run.
Some of you have a passion for that.
So this isn't, if it runs on the same timeline as the last time we did our election, it was August 31st, because that's when everybody had to be registered with their money in. But if it has changed and it's moved up, I would think that's something we need to publicize and get cards run on the air. So if these things didn't change, I'd go with the earlier number. And you just have to get, you know, your membership in, and then you're eligible to both vote.
The critical deadline has been violated.
Yes, I like a member of the PNB retail
government. So I think that it was around that time, and I also think the only real requirement was that you were a member.
I know the answer.
Okay, go ahead and give us the answer.
The answer is you have to be a member when you turn your papers in.
No, it's not that. And there are two separate deadlines, because you have to be a member of the station, right? A paying member. The actual deadline to be a candidate if you're running was later than the time that you had to be a member by.
But if you're going to be a candidate, you've got to have your registered voters. So the critical deadline in the election is being a registered voter now before the date that you've asked.
Yeah.
So that you can have voters.
She's going to respond to everybody's questions in just a moment, okay?
$3 and $25 So if you did it right now, you'd be good through the election cycle. I don't know what the last date is, so.
So 3 hours in lieu of $25.
3 hours working. No bet. 3 hours spent.
If anyone's interested.
Yes, go ahead, please.
The record date, for purposes of determining the members entitled to receive notice of any meeting, entitled to vote by written ballot, or entitled to exercise any other lawful membership action, shall be 45 days before the date of the special meeting, 45 days before the date on which the first written ballot is distributed or made available to the members, or 45 days before the taking of any other action as applicable.
Okay, so I have a copy. The bylaws were amended. The election time frame was amended in July 2000.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. That's
I have to
even log into this
because it's Article 4.
Article 3, Section 10.
Okay, well, it's in the new thing. It's Section 5, election time frame, as amended, July 2007. In a delegate election year, the nominations period for seats being vacated shall open on June 1st and remain open for 30 days, closing on July 1st. The national and local election supervisors shall thereafter prepare the written ballots for each radio station, listing all the candidates and setting forth all other information required by these bylaws. Ballots shall be mailed or otherwise made available to the members on August 15th or the following day if August 15th is a mail holiday. To be counted, a ballot must be received on or before September 30th, the election closed date. All ballots shall be held sealed until the election closed date. Anyway, that's the beginning part of the election. That should answer your question. These are not going to be distributed until the minute this information is verified in the minute.
The question was to be a part of
your
hour for
2007 minutes.
Say that again.
The bylaws regarding the election timing line were amended July 2007 to September 2008.
What I'm referring to here is the record change. I think we have a cross communication here between the time to be eligible to be a candidate and the time eligible to vote.
To be a voter.
Yeah, well,
you
have
45 days prior to the election.
I actually have the new version of 45 days before, 45 to 60 days before the day on which the first written ballot is distributed. So 45 to 60 days before the first ballot is distributed.
Meaning within the 30-day clause between June 1st and July
30th. Don't you say August 1st is the day LCD is distributed? 45 to 60 days. All we know is it's 45 to 60 days before the ballots are distributed.
We don't have
so get your money in now.
Well, I'm holding back, actually.
I'm getting this answer to my question.
So I have another one. Because this already came up, I have a second question, and I still have the same one I want to make. And this is to the, again, to the interim ED. Why hasn't the National Election Supervisor or Director been hired?
Okay, a revised RFP, request for proposal, has been posted. And we're accepting applications for the position of National Election Supervisor. The National Election Committee had gone through a hire process. However, the National Board stipulated that, according to the bylaws, the National Election Supervisor must be an individual, not a company. The National Election Committee basically put out an ES for companies, not individuals. Therefore, the pool of candidates was inadequate. A new RFP was made up with the help of some National Election Committee members, and it was posted. It's on the Pacifica.org website, and a National Election Supervisor will be chosen soon and hired soon.
So that, I can summarize the paraphrase to that. The reason why he has not been hired is because a new RFP had to be revised, and it's going to delay because the election committee was pulling out proposal RFP for companies that are supposed to be
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so here's my statement. because there's a growing group of KPSK listeners who are noticing all this partnership locally. It has gotten in the way of programming quality.
Correct.
This growing cloud of secrecy that we see brewing is getting to be a major concern for a lot of people. And so I ask this question again to the interim VP, because I see the general manager is not here, at least. And this has to do with the 5-week discipline of the only Chicano program that we have on the Spanish language block. The programming was removed from the rotation for 5 weeks, and I've been told that KPSK practices progressive discipline, but I think they're honoring that more in the breach of it. We've seen this group sort of not following through because where is the progressive discipline when the entire Chicano community gets disciplined for the alleged misdeeds of an individual? That is to say, why is that whole hour taken off the rotation for 5 weeks when a certain individual needs to be disciplined, if at all? And was there actually transcripts or whatever the intended language was?
What's the name of the program?
Well, I'm going to call time on this, and you have enough time on this.
If you can go along,
excuse me, wait a minute. I have suggestions on this particular issue. I suggest you take this up with the general manager. And if you call the station, and I will try to make sure you get to speak with him, and you should take this up with him. He'll have the answer to that.
Well, I won't accept that. And part of my question is that what happens to the 8-second delay if supposedly the station has the ability to cut off and bleep out any offensive language? Well, some of that did not come into play in this situation that I'm speaking of. The only Chicano hour available to our community on the Spanish language block.
I know very little about this situation. This is Sean Hightemper's job. I don't micromanage the general managers unless the situation gets to such a point where I have to intervene. I'm not fully agreed on this particular situation. The right person to talk to is Sean
Hightemper. Excuse me, I read a long statement that you put out justifying the taking control of the local station by the national, I guess it's WBA, the national board, that now you have control at 8-7. It's not controlled by a national. You made a long statement about that, so you have some familiarity
with the
board. I'm not accepting what you're telling me here.
You make the recommendation for the minister.
Point of order.
Dave's in time, and while I respectfully coming, and we've gone on for longer than any local board member would be allowed to pursue any topic, and I'd like to ask that we move the agenda.
You'll have an opportunity.
And the general manager is not a direction decision. And you're out of order. That's okay, because we are
out of order.
We have the listener.
Yeah, and I said we've got to go by rules. I can have you removed from this room if you don't abide by the order.
Yeah, we got to obey the order.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the IED report now.
Okay, first of all, I didn't get a chance to give a care report or P&B report. We're having in-person Pacific National Board meeting this weekend. There are difficult matters that the board must get a grip on, and a large bulk of the meeting will be devoted to strategic planning. I was not at the last P&B meeting because I've flown from New York to LA. Here is my vice chair.
No.
Hey, Travis.
I hear you.
It was chaired by the vice chair, so I don't know about this particular motion. I don't know the exact wording. I don't have the minutes of the meeting, the teleconference of last Friday night, so I can't comment about that.
Very critical.
There is progressive discipline in the employee handbook. So that's already in existence. I had suggested progressive discipline policy, and there might be one or two things that I suggested that were not already in the employee handbook. Okay, now in terms of the interim ED report, on Thursday I will be interviewing finalists for the position of interim human resources director, which is sorely needed. There are requests for proposals out for interim ED and for national election supervisor. The general counsel, that's a different story. Generally speaking, RFPs are not put out. The general counsel is not an employee of the foundation. The general counsel is a consultant. Always has been. So the hiring process, I imagine possibly an RFP to be put out, but I don't, in my knowledge, it never has been in the past. So that's a different question. And there is also an RFP out for CFO, the permanent CFO position. All of that is in the hands. The EG position, the CFO position, are in the hands of the personnel committee. The national election supervisor position is that's up to me per the bylaws. And the HR director is also up to me as interim too. So that position is an interim HR position. Okay, so the foundation is at a precipice. Our finances are in a very bad shape. We've had declining listenership and declining membership and declining net income over a period of 4 to 5 years. Austerity measures have already been taken, in my estimation, in my judgment. Further austerity measures would be counterproductive, except possibly with the exception of KGFA, which has quite a number of paid staff. WDAI, in my opinion, is understaffed. So we have to look at other ways of improving our income flow, because we're now at certain stations spending more than we're bringing in income. Austerity measures, generally speaking, mean cutting payroll, because the other expenses are fixed expenses. New York has a very high overhead, $250,000 a year plus utilities for their offices, $325,000 a year plus utilities for the tower rental, which is where the transmitter is. The office rent, I have had a lawyer look over the lease. He sees no loopholes in that lease. If we were to leave, we would still be liable. The foundation would be sued, for the arrest until the term of release is ended. There's a depressed real estate market in lower Manhattan. The building that the officers are in has a lot of vacancies. So there's very little incentive for the landlord to replace those. It's estimated, the lowest estimate I've heard so far to make a move from the offices of WBAI is $250,000 just to make the move. We don't have the money to make the move. And, you know, I have requested help from whoever who can help regarding any loopholes in the lease. So far, we've seen none. So the option of just getting out of the lease, fine and dandy, but it's not happening. So that's we have to come to grips with what we can do. Most fundraising professionals will say, if you receive it, okay, let me back up a bit. According to our chief financial officer, 80% of our income comes from on-air fundraising. 10%, more or less, from grants from the corporations for public broadcasting. 10% of off-air fundraising, including mail drops done at the national office level. So most professional fundraisers say, if you're receiving 80% of your income traditionally from one revenue stream, you should be spending 80% of your time concentrating on improving that flow of income. So off-air fundraising, even though it could be bolstered, is labor intensive and it's not necessarily something we're particularly familiar with doing, and it probably will not create anywhere near the amount of money we need to remain a vital and self-sustaining organization. So that's where we're concentrating our attention. The reason that I went to New York is because New York shortfalls could very well throw the entire foundation to bankruptcy. We are in arrears 4 months on the rent at WBAI. WBAI is spending more than $30,000 per month more than it is bringing in income. I would hope that that station can be saved. It's a wonderful station that has a great history. There's a lot of very good talent there, but there are a lot of difficulties with that station. It needs a turnaround because its problems are not getting better; they're getting worse. Negative cash flow is worsening, not getting any better. So leaving it alone is not an option because Mr. Silverstein could throw it into the So this is a critical time. We are, as I said, in arrears 4 months on the rent there. It's a very tenuous situation. And we're also in arrears on the tower rent. So we have to get to, the other stations have had shortfalls. All stations except KTFK have had fund drive shortfalls. KTFC's last fund drive was 23% under budget. The last two fund drives at WCFW are at least 25% to 30% under budget. WBAI is way under budget in their most recent fund drive. The off-air fundraising has not been doing as well as we would hope also. So we are seeing shortfalls at other stations as well. Declining listenership and membership as well as net income at all five stations over 4 to 5 6 year period of time, which have depleted our reserves that we had. We had that in good economic times. With the worsening general economy, that's hitting us even harder. Luckily, WPFW, KCFC, and KCFW have had reserves. WBAI has no reserves, has been debt about $1 million to the national office. So we are looking at, what do we do? Do we stop paying Amy Goodman? Do we stop paying Prestige Radio News? I mean, we cannot we cannot stop paying the rent because then we'll be going into bankruptcy.
Right.
So there are certain, but anyway, there's a strategic plan that will be happening. This is what I'm looking at. I'm thrust in this position as interim ED. Believe me, I hope that we can find a really competent executive director because I'm more than happy to pass over these responsibilities to another person. And I'm doing the best that I can. It's really easy to criticize. Some criticism is constructive criticism. Some criticism is destructive criticism. It would be good to think, what is constructive criticism? What is destructive criticism? The other thing is, regarding progressive discipline, sometimes there are GMs and other staff who are, can I just make one last point? Okay. Who are really very functional, but they may be reticent to comply with a particular directive that's really important. And in that way, progressive discipline is needed. So, for instance, we must have community advisory boards at all of our stations. That's the requirement of our CPD funding. I will use progressive discipline on any GM, even if they are really highly functional and their stations are doing well, in order to preserve our CPD funding, which is 10% of our gross income, that cannot be allowed to be jeopardized because a GM doesn't feel like complying with an executive director's orders. By the way, I have given written directives stating the reasons why and the policy for board resolutions that I am implementing. They've been given in writing to the general managers, whoever else I've given them to, and they have been also copied to the Pacifica National Board. So that answers your question, Dave. But I am trying to get a grip on this. Four or five other executive directors have seen the sliding statistics of this organization and have done nothing but allowed it to continue for year after year after year as reserves were depleted, as vital statistics were lowered for these organizations. I am, trying to do the best that I can to take responsibility and to reverse this downward decline. And I would appreciate help and support. And I will accept constructive criticism, but destructive criticism only brings this foundation closer to bankruptcy.
The first motion was for 15.
Okay, 15 minutes. Is there 15 minutes?
Can I ask a question as to what the 15 minutes is? I said I wanted to know what the 15 minutes is.
Do you have questions on this item?
Question and answer?
Everybody who wants 15 minutes, raise your hand. This is for the LCM. 10 minutes?
15 minutes.
No?
15 minutes. 5 minutes as well. 5 minutes? You're voting for 5 minutes,
I'm voting for
I don't want to deal with what she said. We are dealing with two systems of election. One which is opposed to people's participation is monarchy. And another one is the willing that the masses participate and running their own destiny. what we have done, no matter our election here, what happened, or every 4 years we have election here to legitimize the ruling class.
Point of order. I thought this 5 minutes was supposed to be questions.
I have not talked.
It's not English enough.
This is not your court. It's the people's court.
Well, the point
that's
is...
That's the difference.
No, it's an LSB meeting.
You are not you have the chair.
Elizabeth, continue.
So we have two systems, monarchy and people's participation. It's dangerous, no matter what Jay says and our friends here, it's dangerous to give one person to decide to elect HR and ED. It's dangerous, and we don't have to put all the confidence in one person, no matter what is the process. It's monarchy. Even sometimes in monarchy, when the king is sick, it's hereditary, and he chooses his son. We are doing the same thing, unfortunately.
I have a question. First off, a quick question. Timeline on the lease of WBI, when does that run to? Like 100 years?
December
2012. Okay, because I just wanted to point out that sometimes, you know, first off, I'd like to point out that that was a contract signed by Pat Scott, as I understand it.
Part of the organization.
What?
Foundation is the foundation.
I understand. The point is, under the leadership of Pat Scott, which was a more conservative bent of the organization, and in fact, what's happening now is we're going to purge the radicals to make up for the debt that were accrued under a more conservative organization. So it seems problematic to me, number one. Number two, you mentioned that you talked about one or two things that weren't already in the employee handbook that you added. You know, I'd like to know what those were exactly. And also, you already, I believe, had the ability to institute progressive discipline on managers as an executive director. So the question is, why would you need additional authority to exert over other employees who are not managers? Particularly since they, you know, the manager should be...
Can I just answer that question?
Yeah.
Okay. Only one or two of 22 or 21 P&D directors were aware of that particular employee handbook. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was not aware of any policy. There's a lot of policy deficiency in particular. So when it was pointed out to me, I was very appreciative. And maybe other EDs didn't know about it either. It's not a, I guess it's from 2005. It's an important handbook.